Blog Talk Radio.
What? Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. I know many of you are rested in your houses still, and as we move along here, we hope that you hang in there with us as you are at your houses. I know you're coming up with very creative ways of staying in the house, but we'll just hear what a lot of the men are here are doing. But we hope that none of you, well, let me not say it that way. Let me ask this question. So how many gone out and bought some Lysol or some Purex or something to clean out the insides? Like, that seems to be the big joke of the day or comments that are over everywhere. So, Bruce, don't you think saying something like that at the President of the United States was just a little strange?
Well, it's just another example of the press taking whatever they can and make him look either stupid or controversial. But I do agree with you that he knows that. He's not a dumb person. He's very intelligent. And he likes to get people's goats. But the moment he gets in that position and says something either he really doesn't mean or just says, you know, is there any other things we can check into, they're gonna run with any bone that he throws at them. So, I mean, he continues to do that to himself. So I would agree with you. He didn't say what they're making it out. He said he didn't say inject yourself with bleach or flu or anything of the sort. Matter of fact, there was someone that was on that said some high official in the Democratic Party that said, forgot her name, one of the doctors that said, oh, you ought to think about doing something with bleach. And you haven't heard a word about that. So I agree with you. He shouldn't even go in that area, but he continues to do that, and he continues to get beat up for it.
Yeah, but so you're saying that he did it as a joke or something in the press?
I think some people said he said it in jest. I don't think he said it in jest. It didn't sound like he said it in jest, but what he should have stopped at is, oh, you know, you're looking at that sounds great about light and heat and humidity. What about this? What about that? He knows when to stop, but a lot of times I'm wondering if he knows when to stop, but he just can't stop. If he would have stopped with that first comment and not the second one, that would have been hard for them to turn that into something negative. But the moment he said it internally and connected the same sentence, some kind of disinfectant, he got nailed for it.
Yeah, Ron, what are your thoughts on this president making those kind of comments? Because there are a lot of people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I can understand what Bruce is saying, but I just have to say that was the most moronic, stupid, idiotic, and any describer word that you can think of that anybody can say, and now he's getting the backlash for it. And I don't think it was taken out of perspective at all. You know, he did say a sort of cleansing. Okay, he did use those words, and he did, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, use the word inject. And you know, I'm not a psychologist, but if you look. First of all, I agree with you, Bruce. I don't think he meant it sarcastically. So even for him to come back and say that afterwards is the stupidest thing. And even if he was being sarcastic, what kind of a stupid person plays with the country during a pandemic with such idiotic, you know, even if he's trying to get at the press, you know, this is a pandemic. People are scared. People are dying. You can't have the president, even if he was being sarcastic, do something like that. And then, you know, to say, oh, I'm not doing any more press conferences. It's like, oh, he got his feelings hurt, so the little boy is taking his toys and running. You know, he's like a child. And I'm not a psychologist, but if you look at Dr. Burke's face and the twiddling of her feet while he was saying that, that tells the whole story right there. I mean, I think, and I heard this morning from several people, maybe she's being censored. You know, she was actually interviewed live on Meet the Press this morning, and she basically, I mean, she's a smart woman. Nobody can deny that. But she basically did not, she wasn't defending the president 100%, but she wasn't saying that he was wrong either. So it was a very bad message, you know, that I think she put out there, because it was confusing to the people. She should have been 100% forceful and said, under no circumstances should anybody inject Lysol or bleach or anything like that into your body. But she didn't say that. And I have friends from all over the world, and guess what? We look like the stupidest country right now. Everybody around the world is talking about what a moron of a president we have.
All right.
I doubt that.
No, I don't.
Let me add one thing. There's a triad here, three-legged stool. There's the president. There's a legislative group, the two, and there's the press. And they all should be working to advance the cause of solutions to this deadly virus, and they should all be working together.
I agree.
Remember the comment about a circle firing squad? Well, all three of them are doing it to each other, and nobody wants to stop. And so my only point in bringing that up is it's not all on the president. Yes, he says some things he shouldn't say. But it's the press, when you're talking about, you know, not being responsible, they go on and on and on to ignosium on anything that is bad and never whisper a word about anything that's positive. So,
but what has he done? What has he done in the last 2 months that's positive, Bruce? Name one thing.
They're just as guilty as the president, as is the legislation.
Bruce, I agree that everybody holds responsibility here, but name one positive thing that he's done in the last couple of months.
Well, he's put together a team of a variety of doctors, specialists,
and
everything else that are doing tremendous things. Yes,
he doesn't let them talk.
But whether you think that he's holding them from talking or not doesn't change the fact there's a team that's been built that is working on this. No matter what the president says, I haven't heard anybody say that, or that the president said that, no, stop working on this. He's not said that. He just wants to be out front and say some things that he shouldn't say.
He needs to stop thinking.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't need to stop thinking. He needs to stop talking sometimes. But his thought process is just fine. He just shoots himself in the foot. But then the press won't leave it alone. How many days have we talked about this now? It's idiotic. Move on. Find something positive to say. No, 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 no. I'm not saying this to defend the president or the Republican. I'm saying this to defend what we should be doing right as far as working together, whether it's Democrat or Republican. Democrats have plenty of blame to go around, too, on holding things up and stuff like that. So, I mean, his language is sometimes poor. Some others' actions are poor. The press is always seems to be on one side, with few exceptions. So none of them are working together. None of them. And that's what frustrates me.
And is that right? Being a pandemic?
No, it's not right. It's not right at all. You're exactly right.
And shouldn't he be our leader and bring everybody together?
And you can't say he hasn't tried. I think he has. But yes, short answer to your question, yes. Has he tried? Yes. You may disagree with that, but I think he has. But he keeps baiting or teasing the opponent, what have become his opponents, and he's got to stop that. I mean, that's and even if he stops it, they probably won't stop shooting him. I mean, it's become a game with them. You can see them in the audience. They just kind of set up these questions one after another. One volleys one, and then one does another, and that's not the way this should be done.
And then I just heard in the news that this is the favorite part of the day of President Trump is the press conferences. So, you know, he gets a kick out of it too.
Well, I don't doubt that because he seems to feed off confrontation so he can show, you know, he's large and in charge. But he's not helping the cause by doing it. I agree on that.
Okay, gentlemen, let me jump in for a second because something you said, Bruce, that I thought was a little strange. You're saying that the press has taken it and run, but what I find by looking around on YouTube and Facebook and all that is that the public has taken it and let it run. There are all kinds of memes and mimes and whatever they call them, and on all these social media about that, there are people standing up with their arms connected to a Lysol can, and they're all. I think he said something that the world picked up, not just the press. I think there are those things. Careful.
Well, sure. We have immediate press in the internet and everything else now, not necessarily professional press. You're right. Easily as it's been run up the flagpole and left waving, they could take it down and move to the next thing. So somebody's got to be, I agree with Ron, someone's got to be the big man on campus. It should be the president. But if not, does that mean no one else can? Does that mean no one can start in a positive vein? It seems like that's what it's like now, is no one will stop this round and around and around and around.
Let's bring in Darius. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I just think it's – the president doesn't speak literally a lot, and I think anyone who thinks – and I don't want to use a really bad term, an ugly term. But anybody who thinks the president was telling people to inject themselves with Lysol has to have something wrong with them. I mean, even no matter what you think about Trump, if you really think that he was saying maybe we should inject ourselves with Lysol, let's just really think about that. If you really think about that, something has to be wrong with you. I don't think people are idiots that think that. I think they want to believe it, so they accept that as a narrative. What the president was saying was, is there some way we can use the same chemical makeup that you use as a disinfectant? Is there some way we can come up with some sort of formula that is similar to that, that we can inject, of course, safely into our bodies? That, to me, is a logical question. Now, should he have asked it out loud? Probably not. Not because I think it's a stupid, because it's idiotic, but because you know how eager the press is to jump on every little thing he says. They pick apart everything he says. And the reason why I'm more convinced than ever of the bias in the press is because you see how they jump on and dissect everything Donald Trump says. But you never see, and I just heard, I think it was Don, talking about how he is, you know, he hasn't done one thing right. That's because of the press's reporting. If you believe he hasn't done one thing right, but yet we have all this praise for the Democrats, not one person in the press has asked one prominent Democrat, what would you have done differently? Not one person in the press has said, hey, Nancy Pelosi, you're the third most powerful person in D.C. Why didn't you sound the alarm? Where's your proposal? Where's your letter to the president? As a matter of fact, why aren't you out here at these press conferences? Why are you at home in San Francisco eating ice cream, playing armchair quarterback? I want to see these Democrats who have all of these complaints, all of this here, all of this second guessing of Donald Trump. I want to see what their proposal is. I want to see what their plans have been. I want to see where they found out before this, long before Donald Trump did, and they called for a shutdown. They called for travel restrictions. They called for bans on immigration temporarily, where they got 100,000 more ventilators than actually are needed, where they got 2,000, 3,000 more hospital beds than they actually needed in New York and L.A., where we have mass vacancies in hospitals because of the planning that he made. But we have all the tests coming in, the surgical gowns and masks that they said we didn't have. Every day the narrative changes. And the reason why you don't think he did anything good, because the things that I just mentioned, the press is not reporting.
Darius, I have heard all those things from the press, and just so you don't misunderstand what I was saying, yes, I agree with all those things that he's done. Could they have been done better? Should we have been better prepared? Probably, but you're right. You know, it's second guessing. I don't know that anybody could have done it better, and I don't know that there's anybody out there that would disagree with this statement that this is a scenario that nobody has ever seen before. So it's, you know, kind of make it up as you go. And I think Dr. Fauci used that phrase one time. The only thing I'm saying is, you know, the president is not the expert. He has experts that he has, including Dr. Fauci. Why has he been, and I don't know if he's been silenced, but all I know is that you don't hear him speaking anymore. Don't you think that in the middle of a pandemic that the country, not just Republicans, not just Democrats, the country, all of us as people, don't you think we would be more reassured to hear the real science from Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci than to hear the president kind of make things up that he has no idea what he's talking about? That's all I'm saying. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist.
But Dr. Fauci speaks every day. And the scarf lady, yeah, every single press conference they speak. I think it was maybe one or two that they missed. And this is the other thing, too. Like, Dr. Fauci has already come out. I heard you say earlier that maybe they've been silenced. But Dr. Fauci came out last
week. Hello?
Uh-oh.
Don, where are you on this subject while we're waiting for him to get back?
I'm sorry, guys.
There you go. Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Dr. Fauci has said that, and the CDC director, they've both come out and said that every single objective that they've put forth, the president has honored. They haven't received any pushback. And somebody from the media even asked the question that you just purported earlier about maybe they're being silenced. They asked Dr. Fauci that. Is the president making you say that he's not going against you or that you're not listening to his advice? And he came out, he said, never. He said, everything I do, he said, that's an insult. Everything I do is voluntarily. I would never say something because somebody wants me to say it. So this is what I'm talking about, the press, the narrative. It's, they put out these false stories, and even when people come out and tell them, no, that's not the case, that didn't happen, when they refute the story, they still run with it. They never do a retraction. And this is why the American people believe that Donald Trump is mishandling this whole thing, that he doesn't listen to science, because Joe Biden and Barack Obama came out after Dr. Fauci said it. After he said it, it says, this is what happens when you ignore the science. The man has a team of 1,000 scientists probably working on this thing, and they're still saying he's ignoring the science. So he can't win. Now, I don't blame him for not doing any more press conferences, because it doesn't matter what he says. The narrative, the stories are already written before they even get in the press room.
All right, Don, where are you on this subject? Don, Mr. Wiggins, is he still on? He's on there.
You there?
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
I am totally befuddled on what I just heard. I'm totally befuddled on what I just heard. Am I listening to a man's voice or some other program? Because the only body that I heard that made sense to me was Ron.
Well,
Bruce, wait a minute.
Of course, I listened to you, Bruce.
Yeah. Now, I want you to listen to me, Bruce. I listened to you for the past 15 minutes.
I'm listening.
And I want you to listen to me.
I'm listening.
you are a prime example. You and Darius are a prime example of what the problem is. It's called denial. It's called denial. Don't even know I am lying. That's what it means. Don't even know I am lying. My God. He asked.
What's the denial specific?
Can I?
Well,
denial.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Are you going to listen? I listened for 15 minutes of something that I just couldn't believe. Now, he asked, what did you think about what the president said Friday, Thursday, or whatever day that was? And you guys start blaming it on the press like he does. It came out of Donald Trump's mouth. It came out of his mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This man looked at the scientist, Dr. Birch, and asked, was it okay to inject a disinfectant? So in other words, is it okay for us to take some Lysol or some Clorox? That's what he was saying. She had to hold herself.
Obviously, you didn't watch the press conference because that's not what he said.
Listen, I know what he said. I got tapes of it.
Well, Don, and Darius is right. He did not say what you just said.
What did he say?
He looked at him like you said and said, you know, like he likes to have his mind go.
No. What did he say?
He said, is there, first of all, he talked about the light. I don't think he covered the moisture, the light. And then they talked about some disinfectants. And he says, is there any possibility, as Darius said, something that could be done internally with something like that? He was just asking an exploratory question.
No. Bruce. He used the word disinfected, didn't he?
Let me finish, please.
Now, you know what disinfectant is. You know what that is. You know what that's called, Lysol or Clorox, right? Okay. Now, you know what this reminds me of? Now, here's the most powerful man in the universe representing the number one country in the world saying some asinine statement like that. He sounds like Jim Jones.
Don?
Bruce, he sounded like Jim Jones. Because, see, you don't make that kind of statement being the president and then having the company had to come out and make a statement to help people that are weak in the mind that will go out and do something like that.
Let me ask you a question related to what you're talking about. Then yesterday, I don't remember who it was, one of the leading doctor experts on the general, I don't know what station news it was on, CNN or NBC or MSNBC, said something about ingesting Clorox, used the word Clorox. Has the press run with that at all? No.
It's a disinfectant.
Well, no, that's my point. That's my point. This expert on their side talked about ingesting Clorox in some fashion. They didn't even mention that. Shouldn't it be both sides, Don?
If it's bad, Bruce, it's bad. Bruce, if Clorox is disinfectant, is it?
Yeah.
All right. You answered my question. You get Clorox, Lysol, they're all disinfected.
You didn't answer mine.
What is your question?
My question was, when an expert doctor on the left side brought it up and specifically said about ingesting Clorox, or I think she used the word Clorox, is the press has not said a word about that. They have not brought her on the carpet. They have not said, what a crazy thing to say. It's all Trump. That's not consistent or fair, period.
Bruce,
you don't.
Bruce,
the press
Bruce, he, Bruce, Bruce,
the press
Bruce, he's
not
Bruce,
being,
don't, don't be in denial, my brother. He should not have said that. He should have not said that.
You're not answering my question. You're answering the question with a question. Why did the press bring up the other side's issue when it was a bad thing? Why not?
Bruce, he should not have said that. Bruce, he should not have said that, okay?
Well, yeah. Not in the way you're framing it, but how about the Democratic expert? Why aren't they chastising that person?
Bruce, I can answer that, Don, if I may. There's lots of stupid people on both sides, okay? Lots of stupid people. But again, I make the statement, this is our president, this is our fearless leader, so of course the media is going to, look at him and scrutinize every word he says. You know, there's probably doctors all around the country that are saying stupid things every day. But it doesn't matter. What matters is what our leader is telling us right now.
Ron, that's a very convenient answer, but not a good one.
Somebody needs to mute their phone.
Yeah. What's going on?
Gentlemen, I think that's Michael in Los Angeles. I think he must be on the air. Something the air coming.
Yeah.
Michael.
Somebody needs to mute their phone.
Yeah. Can you mute his phone? There you go.
Yeah, that's coming out of LA.
All right. That's all.
Hey, Bruce. Bruce. Here's the most powerful man in the world. Okay. Here's the most powerful man in the world. He made a statement like that. That was out of order, man. Come on. Be realistic. Listen to me, Bruce. You want to overtalk me. You don't want to listen.
Well,
I'm trying to get you to listen. I listened to you for 15 minutes, man. Just listen to me.
You exaggerate,
okay?
But go ahead.
Here's the most powerful man in the world. He makes a statement like that, and then he blames it on the media and says the media took it out of context. Well, no, the media didn't take it out of context. It's on film. It's on audio. It's on television. You stood there and said it out of your heart, out of your mouth, and it was captured. And the thing is, it influenced people that are weak minds, that have weak minds, that will go out and do something like that. You don't say that. And then most importantly, we got people that are hungry, standing in line to get food. And you're saying, drink like that.
Why did the additional bill get held up then by the Democrats? I couldn't
see,
agree with you more.
You bring it up something else. You see, that's what I call denial.
No, I brought up, you talked about being fed. A lot of that has to do with getting food to the people that need it. That's why I brought it up.
Well, let me say this then. We got people here in Florida that are hungry, standing in line to get food in the richest country in the world. And before that, it was a governor by the name of Rick Scott here that didn't fund the unemployment to make the numbers look good. And we got 800 people here, that have filed for unemployment, and only 6% of them have been processed. Only 6% out of the 800 people that have filed for unemployment have been processed. And then we got a guy that does everything like Trump. His name is DeSantis, and the testing is not happening like it should. And then that's why the media makes statements like that to him. And then he comes out and makes stupid statements in his press conference that he has every single day. I told you he needs to shut up. I told you that 2 months ago. He needs to shut up. But now I told you I'd give him another hour. I said that last week. Give him another hour, and he'll shoot himself. Man, he needed all he needed was another day, five more days. Shot himself in the foot, and now he wants to discontinue the press conference.
I want to weigh in on that if it's all right. This is Michael from Los Angeles. How you guys doing? Bruce,
doing
my
fine.
Question to you is, my yes. question has got to be, why is it that you guys, his supporters, his base, why do you defend everything this guy does? Stuff that is just obviously indefensible. Why do you guys continue to just defend him? I think it would be more honoring you guys' an argument if the things he did that were clearly wrong, if you guys stood up and said, hey, that's wrong. I support this guy, but that's wrong. But you guys don't do that. You defend everything he does.
Michael,
you clearly would not defend
Michael,
Barack Obama. For
can
Barack
I
Obama
answer?
You would not defend Barack Obama for telling you
can
to
I,
Barack.
Can I answer your question? It's
Absolutely.
Not true. I do not defend everything he says. You haven't been around listening long enough to hear what I've said, because that is totally false. As a matter of fact, I tend to be down the middle, not Republican or Democrat. The reason it sounds to you like I'm defending the Republicans and President Trump is one of the major reasons is because a major component of getting things properly disseminated in the press and problems solved is totally slanted to the left. And if I could take the exact same comments, Michael, you said and said, just it to Democrats. Democrats, you believe everything the Democrats say. So neither one is right. Neither one is totally right. And
that's not true. If the Democrat told
it's
me
not
to
true.
Barack, I would not defend that, and I would say, hey, that's okay. He just made a mistake. If Barack Obama told me to go drink Clorox, I wouldn't support him anymore. I really
he
would
didn't,
not support
he didn't
Barack
say
Obama
to do that. He didn't say to do that.
He said drink disinfected. And here's
no,
another thing I wanted to point out to Bruce. Bruce,
no,
about
didn't.
2 weeks ago when we were on a call, about 2 weeks ago, I mentioned we were talking about the stimulus package. And I said, I guarantee you they're going to figure out a way to make sure men of color don't get that check. Well, I have not gotten my check yet. I'm an African-American man. And it's because they said if you owe child support, you cannot get a stimulus check. Now,
well,
why
Michael,
would they do that? Well, they did that because they know a lot of African-American men are behind on child support payments. Not because they're deadbeat, but just because they fell behind because the bills were kind of high. So all the things to say you can't get a check for, why would you pick that one thing?
I doubt that's the only thing.
Bro, and I still
guess,
haven't gotten
guess
mine.
What, guys? Guess what, guys? I haven't got mine either. So am I in the minority group?
No, but you're not prohibited.
No, but. Okay.
There's a large group of African-American men who are prohibited from getting one.
Well, I didn't make
up
the rules.
They could have said if you owe back taxes. They could have went with a million things to prohibit people. But they went with the one thing they knew that would affect a large swath of African-American men.
All right. I think we've talked about this one subject about the president. Yep. People are on comments, but there are other things that I think people are asking me about, sending some emails in here. And one of them is, do the gentlemen on this panel believe that the states should open up, that Florida and Georgia, who opened up the beaches, should that really be going on? What is our view of states being opened up during this pandemic? What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
It's interesting you ask me that because I'm watching ABC News right now, and the very first story that they're talking about is the beaches in California packed with people and police arresting people. And, you know, I'm not opposed to a methodical approach to opening things up slowly as long as it's backed by science. And right now in Florida, we haven't even reached our peak yet. And you know, Don will verify that. But I don't think we've even reached our peak yet. And thankfully, our governor, you know, has said recently that he's going to be doing things slowly. And, you know, it's going to be a process that is going to be followed, led by science. Okay. We don't have enough testing out there yet. We don't have, you know, as far as antibodies, we have tested a very insignificant percentage of our population. So, I personally, I don't think anybody, and Georgia, you know, opening up tattoo parlors and hair salons, they showed in the news just a few minutes ago, an American Airlines flight packed with people side by side with each other, and some of them weren't wearing masks. Crazy. So, no, I think it's too soon to start reopening, you know, and it's interesting that everything seems to always follow the political divide in this country. And if you see the states that are slowly or, you know, starting to reopen more than slowly, they're all Republican states.
All right. David, you know something? Ron said something really that hit my spirit hard, because see, most of the things that they're opening up are things that we as people of color spend a disproportionately amount of money on. And to be truthful with you, I won't feel safe going out to patronize any of them, not until I see them opening up some tanning salons and some golf courses and things of that nature, will I feel comfortable. I think that we should not open up anything unless there's tests behind it, scientific tests behind it. You know, the things that have been opened up in Atlanta, where you are right now, wait and see what happens within the next couple of weeks or a month from now. You know, it's going to be, I mean, he stood there and said, we're going to see a second wave. And a president said, it'll be over. It'll be over soon. Come on. Listen to your scientists. Let them lead the way. Stay out of the way and shut up. That's what he needs to do.
All right, Don. Wait, hold on a second. Let me get with Darius, because Darius, you're in Georgia also, and the executive order was to open up massage parlors and all those kinds of things. How do you feel about that, and what do you see going on in your state?
I think it's long overdue. I'll be honest. I just, you know, everybody keeps saying, listen to the scientists, listen to the scientists. And it's so frustrating to me, because that's what he's doing. That's why we're doing this now, because he's listening to the scientists. But what people aren't looking at, and I'm just a guy, I look at statistics. I'm sorry. Sometimes it may sound heartless, but I look at the stats. And what we're looking at right now in terms of the amount of people dying does not warrant the type of restrictions and the economic pain that is being inflicted on the American people right now. You have, in Georgia, you have a total of less than, I think, 800 people, or right at 800 people that have died from the coronavirus. Over 75% of them are elderly people in nursing homes in a certain region. So you're trying to tell me that the entire state, people who have worked their whole lives to build up their life savings, to build a business, to buy a home, that they should go financially and economically, or financially bankrupt, economically destroyed, because less than 0.03% of the population has died. You are more likely to die from getting in your car going to Publix to get your toilet tissue than you are from the coronavirus in Georgia. You are more likely to die by crossing the street. What I'm saying is, everything, and I know it sounds harsh, but let me say this right here. Everything in life is based on calculated risk. Calculated risk. 50,000 people die a year on the interstates. We don't shut the interstates down. 30,000 to 60,000 people die every year from the regular strand of flu. We don't shut everything down. The scientists have told us everything from 2 million people down to 60,000. They've told us our hospitals are going to be overrun. They've told us that we're not going to have enough ventilators. We're not going to have enough masks, everything should, and none of that stuff has happened. But yet people
Darius.
Still say, trust the scientists. Trust the scientists. The sci- every model
you,
is wrong. Yeah, hold on. Every model has been wrong.
I'll tell you how
yes,
your
sir.
Argument is flawed. I remember vividly a couple of months ago, Donald Trump saying that regular flu kills 30 to 50,000 people a year, and we don't close the country down for the flu. Fine, that's a valid statement. However, there's a little word there that people are missing. A year. We have had 2 months of coronavirus, and it's already killed more people than the flu. 2 months of coronavirus, and if it comes back, it might be even worse. And you know, we still have 10 months to go of this to even make it to the year mark, to even be able to compare.
Darius, how many people would have to die for you to change your mind? How many people would have to die for you to change your mind?
That's a valid point. So I will say let's see what the numbers bear out. But what my point was thus far, everything the models have shown us has been wrong. None of it has come to pass. So all I'm saying is trust the scientists. There is no science that has been proven to be exact or right on this.
I think the models, models were based on people not staying home, you know, and we've done a good job. That is something good that we've done as a country, is people have stayed home. Otherwise, I think we would have hit the numbers that the models were predicting, because that's based on science. You know, science isn't, you know,
it's
there's
not,
no way of getting that wrong.
Models aren't based on science. The models could show whatever information you put into it. So I find it hard to believe that because we stayed home, you went from a projected 2.1 million people to 30,000. I find that very hard to believe. If you were a business owner and you went to the board with those projections saying I project 2 million and you bring in 30,000, you'd be fired before you could even open up your point. Before you could even open up your presentation, your PowerPoint, you'd be fine.
The projection was 2 million for the whole year, and it's not 30,000,
yeah.
It's 50,000 for 2 months. So we have 10 more months to go.
And it's a direct result of staying at home, washing your hands, wearing masks, and social distancing. It's a combination there. I can't believe you're saying this. How many people would have to die for you to change your mind?
Well, you and I are on the same page, because I can't believe 97% of the stuff you say. I'll just be honest with you. But I don't want to answer that question because, like I said, everything is a calculated risk. And I think the question that you're asking me right now is an unfair question, because I don't want
anybody to die. You put a scientific number on it.
You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it, okay? There is no number. Just like you, if I said, okay, now how many people is it okay to die on the highway before you park your car and not go to work? Everything is a calculated risk. It's unfair to say, okay, I'm cool with 100,000 people dying. I'm not cool with anybody dying. But it's a part of life. We all take calculated risk.
That's a bad analogy.
Everything in life is a calculated risk.
Somebody in your family died, would you feel the same?
No.
If somebody
there you go. There you go.
But you didn't
hear
what I
said.
What if five people in your family die?
Not one person.
Okay.
I don't want one person to die, even if it's not a family member. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying we all take calculated risk. You cannot avoid death. 5,000 people die a year from falling in. Wait a minute. 5,000 people die a year from falling in a bathtub. Do you not take a bath anymore?
No, but
come on, guys.
Everything is calculated. Okay. The analogy should be, if there's a pothole on the freeway that's killing everybody, how many people got to die before we fix that pothole? That should be the analogy.
That should not be an analogy, because you can fix a pothole. You cannot fix a virus.
You can't stop it no matter what you do. You can only hope to contain it and slow it down, but you can't stop
it.
Hold on. Michael, your analogy is flawed in the sense that if you knew what to do, if we knew that we could go and shovel some dirt in a hole to stop the virus, we would all be out there with shovels right now. So your analogy doesn't make any sense, man.
Would you stop driving on that freeway until you fix that pothole? Yes or no?
That's not the same. That's an accident. That's something that you can avoid. You can fix. Your question doesn't make any sense.
Well, we can't tell people to stop driving on that freeway until you fix that pothole, yes or no?
No, the analogy would be because 100,000 people died on the freeway, would you stop driving on the freeway? That's the correct analogy. But they died from accident.
Okay, let me jump in. I'm going to bring this down to a close because there's only like 15 minutes left in the show. And although we have been a good show, but I still want to give everybody a chance because there are other things going on. Like, for example, the Paycheck Protection Program and that the Small Business Association is giving to people is not seemingly down to the small businesses. But there are other questions. Don, what do you have you would like to talk about for the next couple of minutes?
Well, the payroll protection program, I think the government should have defined the criteria for getting the money. That's why you find all these major corporations like Ruth Chris and all the other major corporations that had all these high-priced lawyers and CPA firms soak up millions and millions of dollars. They soaked up all the money from the people that really needed it, like small businesses. And the thing is, now they're embarrassed. And they want to give the money back. They should have never done it, but that's been the norm for this administration. Take care of the big boys and take care of my friends and the hell with the rest. Now, on this new group of money, I think that the Democrats have put some stipulations in it that a certain amount of it will go to smaller credit unions and smaller firms that will loan to minorities and small businesses small businesses make up a disproportionate amount of business in America. I hope small businesses do get a loan. We put in for one so I can pay my employees, and I've been paying them out of my pocket. I'd like to get some of the subsidies that Ruth Chris got. So, hey, man, it was a force. This new piece, we'll see what happens.
All right. One of the things that I came across was the notice that the President of the United States has the power to address medical supply, but unfortunately, our president has not done that this time, up to this point. But it would seem that, the mask and all those things, because I do know that when we needed license, the prisons made license plates. Why aren't the prisons making masks and ventilators and all those kinds of things? So it doesn't look like we are actually working toward getting this done. But when money came out, what they said there were millions of dollars. Looks like the people who got the money were the people at the bottom. It's the rich got wealthier on money that the smaller company should have got. So it doesn't look like our administration now is doing the things that they can to help with the medical supply. Why not? And why are we not saying anything about that? What do you think, Bruce? Do you agree with that, Bruce?
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I've been listening now very carefully. And this is germane, but not exactly answering your question. I think we talked about this earlier. If we're never going to have enough tests to get out in front of this virus to totally surround it and kill it. Now, a vaccine, as I think Darius or someone else said earlier, could help control it and make it livable. But that's never going to happen. So my point is, you have to take some risk and start restarting the economy. If you think this economy can wait another 6 months or longer to go back, we're going to have so many people, so many companies and businesses destroyed, there won't be half the economy to go back to. And I hope the Democrats don't want that. We know the Republicans don't. They want to put everybody back to work. I'd like to think the sensible Democrats and independents do too. So as I think Darius said, there's always going to be some risk. We can debate about how much risk, but it's always going to be there. You can't ask for an absolute. It's not going to happen. Not in time anyway. Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but let me just ask the whole panel, all panel members, playing devil's advocate here. What has China and Hong Kong, other places in the Far East, South Korea, what have they done to be able to reopen their economies that we haven't done or that we can't do? I just heard either today or yesterday discussion from Governor Cuomo about the rapid transit, the subway system that connects people from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. They don't even have a plan yet. I mean, they're talking about it, but there's no sophisticated plan like there is in the Asian countries where everybody is screened, their temperatures are taken. It's very methodical. It seems like what they're doing is very, you know, scientific fact. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if they're going to get a rebound or a second wave? But it seems like they're much more organized than we are as far as reopening. Does anybody have any comments about that?
Ron,
I have some comments on that.
Don, can I just interject one thing and then you can go? Ron, some of that may be indeed be true. But what are you not hearing about how many people are totally sequestered, possibly disappear, for lack of using a more abrupt word? You're not hearing all of that. So we don't know enough about what's going on in the country for you to say, oh, they're doing it right, possibly, or a lot of it right, and we're doing a lot of it wrong. We don't know enough about what they're truly doing to be able to say that. None of us do. You don't. I don't. None of us do.
Bruce, if you were to take all the countries, China, Italy, every one of them, and add up how many people have died due to this dreadful disease, it does not compare to the amount of people in the United States of America that has died. It's almost double. It's crazy. It's ludicrous. So therefore, you can't compare what happened in China and all these other countries. Sure, he cut down travel from China, but it came in from Europe. It didn't come in from China. It came in from Europe. But the thing is, we got a unique situation here in America, the most powerful country in the world. And again, we're spending trillions of dollars. We're going to spend $4 trillion. I remember when President Barack Obama was in office for 8 years, if he was not balancing the budget to less than $1 trillion, we were up in arms. Now we're spending money like it's water. Rightfully so. We got an epidemic here. You don't just send people out and they're dying disproportionately. I'll tell you what, let this thing hit your family and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about and you'll have a different tune. Let it hit your family.
All right. I see Jeremiah's joined us. weekly, Jeremiah is working, so he gets in, but I think it has a lot to do with this new engagement he got. I'm keeping him busy. Jeremiah, what is it like down there now that you've opened? You're in Florida, and we talked about this, but I want to hear, because you're the youngin', what is it like there? Are you going to the beach?
I haven't been to the beach. I've just been consistently working, whether it's providing aid to customers that want disinfecting solutions for COVID-19. But I haven't been enjoying anything as of late, honestly. But it still has been challenging, even for everyone, going to Walmart, going to the grocery store, I passed by Walmart today. I think it was about 50 to 60 people in line just to get into the store. So things is kind of crazy. The only thing that's pretty easy to get nowadays is gas. That's about it.
Wow. All right. So I want to throw out, we got about 5 minutes left on the show. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about is this second wave coming. We need to be prepared for, if everybody opens up the states and everything opens up, we still need to stay social distancing and gloves on, mask on. Do you agree with that, Darius?
Absolutely. And yeah, absolutely. So I guess, you know, when I was saying I thought it was long overdue, let me clarify that a little bit. I meant we still could have gone back to work and practiced the social distancing. Like, we could have done things like have, you know, temperature checks on large buildings when people walk in. We'd spend less money setting up that at office buildings than we are spending trillions of dollars to send out checks every day. So if everybody just practiced common sense, social distancing, wearing gloves, using sanitizer, washing your hands, not sneezing or coughing on anybody, wearing masks, I think we'll all be fine.
All right. You know, one of the things that came up today in the news was that there are a lot of inmates who are in prisons that are, the COVID-19 has a lot of prisons are, you know, overrun with it, but there are a lot of inmates who don't want to leave the jail because they're afraid to get out into it. I thought that was interesting and strange, but Jeremiah, because you're in that field a lot, why would you think that is? Well, they're scared. They don't know. They're probably on the streets and they have nowhere to go. Would you think that
they have tied hands because most of them feel like when they're incarcerated, they don't get the proper health care as anyone else on the streets in a correctional facility. And then, you know, some of these guys have been incarcerated for 10, 20 years where they don't even know how to contact family. So they would be left alone on the streets, semi-homeless, most of them. But I would like to hear what Darius would say. How would he combat that issue in the correction system with inmates having the COVID coronavirus?
You mean in terms of them not wanting to be released?
Not that. How would you solve that problem? Because there are tons of inmates that are infected at this time.
The same way we're doing that out here, you know, just be self quarantine, put them in a cell by themselves, isolate them until they you know, test negative.
And I think the major part is the employees because they've restricted visitors for a while now, and the only way these inmates can come in contact with this virus is with the employees. So that's a major concern as well.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. We only got a minute 44 left, but I wanted to bring this piece up because as fathers and uncles and men, grandfathers and stuff like that, there are a lot of young people who are graduating from high schools and colleges, et cetera, who, because of this, cannot have graduation ceremonies. So this is a good time for men to step up in terms of, You might have social distancing, but you can send out a gift card or make a phone call because we all remember the date we graduated and the cap and gown and all that stuff. Well, there are a lot of young people who won't have that this year. So I think we should keep it in our minds. Who in our families are these people? And let's do something special for them. And there's nothing to say this is what we're going to do. I think it depends on the person and what you can do. Okay, so guys, we want to thank you for being here. I think we had a lot of conversation today. I want to tell everyone we'll be back next week, and if this is still going on, I'm sure it'll get deeper. But you guys have a good, safe week, and we'll talk again next week. Say goodbye.
take care, guys. Have a good week. God bless.
I really enjoy talking
to you guys. It's a lot of fun. Y'all have a safe week. Be good. And watch the press conference for yourself. Don't listen to the sound bites.
I want to say,
don't drink any Clorox.
Oh wow!
Don't
all right, guys.
Take care. Don't eat the cheesecake. I'm